There's a joy in my soul, and it rises like a morning. This I know for sure, that your grace is enough, and your promise never breaking. I give my song to you. All of your goodness is like a well running over. All my songs I sing for you. Yeah, all my songs I sing.
I've got a question for you this morning. Are you the type of person that likes to live in the past? Remembering the good old days or the way that things used to be, or maybe even remembering previous achievements? Maybe every once in a while you look through an old photo album. Maybe you look at old awards or trophies. Maybe you even pull out the old varsity Letterman jacket to see if it still fits. Or are you the type of person who would rather forget the past? Are there things you wish you would not be reminded of? A couple of years ago, just a few weeks before my wedding, my parents invited me over for dinner because they wanted to reminisce a bit before my entire life changed. And after dinner, they pulled out these old photo albums filled with pictures of them and me and throughout my childhood. And as we went through these photos, they would constantly look at the photo, they would talk about the memory, and then they would hand the photo to me, and then they would watch me look at this photo. And it was almost as if they were expecting some well of emotion or some emotional response on my part. And throughout the whole night as we did this, really the only thing that I could say was, "Mom, Dad, I cannot believe that you used to dress that way. Like, I cannot believe you left the house wearing that, or I could not believe you let me leave the house wearing that." Right? Because some things should be forgotten, and some things and styles don't stand the test of time. And so I've got a few examples for you this morning, and some of them you might remember. And let's look at this first one this morning. Yeah, we've got the Miami Vice look. Yeah, some of you may have rocked this back in your day. I've even heard some people say this look is making a comeback. It's not. But I also have some pictures this morning of some people that you might recognize. Let's see what we have. Yeah, we've got glamour shots with Michelle, and we've got a picture of Randy when he was in a band. Some of you didn't know that about Randy, but they've definitely improved their styles over the years. And let's see, you know, I can't get out of here without putting up one of my own photos, so let's see. It's bad, I'm telling you up front. Yes. It's horrendous, I know. You didn't know that I was a student or a child of the 70s. And yes, that is my real hair. But we can go ahead and take it down because it's bad. But the truth is, sometimes the past is embarrassing, right? Like, as you can tell, sometimes our past is embarrassing. But sometimes our past is painful. Sometimes it's full of regret. And many times, because of this, you and I can be paralyzed by our past. We can be paralyzed to move forward because of what is behind us. And maybe for you, the things that you would like to forget about your past go much deeper than some embarrassing high school styles or fads. And maybe you feel like the things in your past still affect your life today, or that they affect your walk with Jesus, and somehow you've been sidelined from the full experience because of them. Or maybe you've been sidelined from the full experience, not because of your mistakes, but because of your accomplishments, because of the things you've gotten to do or been a part of, or the steps you've taken in the past. And it's because of those great moments that you're constantly in this remembrance of them, looking back, and you fail to see and miss out on what God has in front of you today and the steps he wants you to take today. And so this morning, if you relate with either of those perspectives, and honestly, that's most of us in this room, I've got some great news for you. As we continue this morning in our message series, we're going to see the Apostle Paul, who was the writer of this letter we've been walking through in this series, and he was an early church leader and planter. We're going to see that he was very similar to us. And he not only has great accomplishments in his past, but he also has large failures in them. And as we look at him today, he's going to show us and help us to see how to move beyond the things that may be holding us back. And so this morning, if you have a Bible, would you turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3? And you can also use your Brazos Point app if you have it. But if you don't have a Bible this morning, know that we would love to give you one. And we give away Bibles every week out at the Welcome Center. And so feel free to grab one on your way out today. But if you don't have a Bible, we'll put the words up on the screen so you can follow along. And picking up in verse 12, Philippians 3, verse 12, here's what Paul said. He said, "Not that I have already obtained this, all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." And you see, right off the bat, Paul is letting everyone reading this letter know that he has not already obtained it. And he's talking about being good enough or being Christ-like. And it's essentially, he's talking about being like Jesus, not a savior, but being like Jesus in his character, in his attitude, in his actions. And he's telling us he's not yet there because he understands that following Jesus is a process. It's growing, it's making changes, it's maturing. Back in May, we had a series about this that we called Was, Am, Will, Be. It was about this entire process of I was saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved one day. And so today we're talking about that am being saved. It's this process of our life. After stepping over the line of faith and starting a relationship with Jesus, it's this process of the rest of our lives as we continue to grow and mature. And so notice how quick Paul is to tell us right off the bat that he is not yet there. He has not arrived at his goal. And so I want you to write this in your notes this morning. And this is true for anyone who wants to follow Jesus. Write this in your notes. Come as you are, but don't stay that way. Come as you are, but don't stay that way. You see, in the same way that I look at my daughters, is the same way that God looks at you. And here's what I mean by that. I unconditionally love my daughters as they are. But I would love for them to continue to grow and to mature. Penny, I love her unconditionally. She has my whole heart. But I would love for her to continue to grow and mature. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would love it if she continued to grow and mature to the point where she learned to listen to anything other than the Moana soundtrack. Right? Like, I don't know if my ears can take it much longer. Like, we need something else in the rotation. But I love her as she is, unconditionally. Evelyn is the same thing. I love her as she is, but I would love to see her to continue to grow and to mature so that one day, hopefully, if I'll be honest, that one day I would no longer have to change another diaper, right? Like, hopefully that day is coming, God, I'm praying, but I would love for her to continue to mature and to grow, but I love her as the way she is. And as silly as that may be, don't miss this. That God looks at you the exact same way. And God is telling you, I love you as you are, unconditionally, but I want and I've got plans for you to continue to grow. So remember this, you are not perfect. And you're not expected to be perfect, but you are expected to keep moving and to keep taking next steps with God. You see, that's why Paul says that he presses on. He's taking steps. He's saying, I'm not perfect. I'm not yet there, but I'm moving. I'm growing. I'm maturing. He's on the way. And this morning, if you feel like you're just nailing it, like you have got it figured out, you are have taken some major steps in your life, I want to encourage you that the same principle still applies to you. Don't stay that way. Keep growing. Keep taking next steps. And so a great reminder here that Paul has for us is he's confident that one day he will eventually arrive there. How does he know that? How does he know that one day he will get where he's going? Well, check out the imagery that he uses. You see, Paul's describing, every time Paul describes himself, he uses words and phrases like working towards, grasping at, reaching for every change that he's making. It's this picture of it's a struggle, it's a process. He takes a step forward and maybe a step back, but it's a growth process. But look at the description that he gives to Jesus. The words and phrases he uses, he says that Jesus has taken hold. It's done. He's saying there is no grasping, there is no reaching. Jesus has done this. It's over. And so he's confident that one day he will arrive where he's going, not because of anything he can control, but because of what Jesus has already done in him. You see, he's received God's grace, and it's that same grace that's actually making the changes in him. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, you live in that exact same tension. It's living in this tension of I have Christ, but not Christ-likeness. Or if I have a relationship with Jesus and he has changed me and he's forgiven me, but I'm still on this process of taking steps, of growing, of maturing. How do we navigate that well of understanding God has forgiven me, but there's still more for me yet? There's a plan, there's a process, there's growth that needs to take place. Well, Paul has a great example for us. Paul is a great example for us. And I want you to see what he does. He does one thing. This is the Paul who's the all-star. This is the early church planter and leader. He says that he does one thing, so it must be important. And I want us to see what it is this morning. And look at verse 13. Look at what he says. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it," talking about becoming like Jesus, "but one thing I do." Now, underline that, highlight that, circle that in your Bible. He says there's one thing he does. What is it? "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." We see that Paul says there is one thing he does, and it's he has a singular focus, and it's how he moves beyond the things that may be holding him back. So how do you not be paralyzed by your past? Do this one thing. Forget what is behind you and move toward what is ahead. And it's really one thing in two parts. There's the forgetting and letting go, and then there's the moving on and moving forward. And much of the imagery that Paul uses throughout his letters are kind of related to sports or sports-like in their words. And here he's basically describing a runner in a race. And he's saying you cannot move forward until you truly let go of what is behind you. Now think about a runner running a race, but is constantly looking behind them. It's not going to end well, and they will not be successful in the end. And so maybe for you this morning, maybe you feel like, I'm trying to run, but I keep looking back. And the things I'm looking back at are keeping me from the race that God has called me to. And maybe the things in your past or the things you keep looking back on, maybe for you it's a broken relationship, or maybe several. Maybe for you it was an addiction that you had that you keep remembering, or addiction that you still struggle with today. Maybe it was a failure that you were a part of, or that you had, or that maybe it was some sort of secret sin that you had and no one knew about, or that you still carry today. Or maybe it's some sort of unforgiveness that you're still carrying with you. And maybe you feel like it's holding you back. Maybe these things make you feel inadequate or disqualified or some hint of shame. And here is what I want you to see this morning. And write this in your notes. Don't give up because you've messed up. Don't give up because you've messed up. You may feel like God cannot use you, but can I encourage you this morning? Just about every hero we read about in the Bible was a hero who had a messed up past, who made mistakes, but chose not to be paralyzed by their past. And even Paul this morning, the writer of this letter we've been reading through in this series, you see, before he was this all-star, before he was this leader in the early church known as Paul, he was known as Saul. He had a different name and a very different life. He was very different, and he was actively working to destroy the church. And he persecuted those who were following Jesus. And everyone knew this about him. That was his reputation. That was his legacy. That was his identity. And so don't miss this. In the same way that Paul didn't let him, it sideline him. Don't give up because you've messed up. God continually transforms people and stories, and it's the very same for you. And so as we talk about that this morning, as we talk about this idea of letting go and moving on, you may be saying, that sounds great and all. I would really love to let go. I would love to move on. I would love to forget the past. But what if my mistakes were public? What if my mistakes were widely known? What if I want to move on, but there are people around me that keep reminding me of my mistakes? that keep reminding me of the failures that I've had. Maybe there are places and people that if you're just around, it all comes back to you. So what do you do? Again, Paul is the perfect example of this. Listen, Paul's past was full of mistakes. And if he never let go, he would have never moved on to what God had for him. And so what we see is Paul absolutely understood this one thing, letting go and moving on. You see, when we see him here, he's a part of building the church that he once worked to destroy. He's raising up leaders. He's forming churches. He's writing letters that would become a part of our New Testament. But could you imagine how awkward or uncomfortable that may have been for him at first? As God completely turned his life upside down and called him to the very same thing that he was working to destroy. You see, after Jesus changed him and his life had been forever changed, can you imagine, honestly, how awkward that first church meeting must have been in that he walked into? As everyone stared at him thinking, is that who I think that is? Like, should we be afraid that he's here? Or the conversations that must have happened, the things that he as well must have felt. I want you to imagine that, the looks, the stares, the disbelief on other people's parts that his life had actually been changed and that he was a new person, or even the fear that he might have felt walking into those same places. So how can you move on, even in those difficult moments or situations? Well, here's what I would tell you. Remember what is true, that you've been transformed. And I'll say it another way, and write this in your notes. You are not who you were. You are not who you were. Listen, regardless of what people say, God has told you who you are now. Your identity is tied to him and not who people say you are. Not who the crowds say you are. Not who those people say you are, not what the people on Facebook say about you. Your identity is tied to who he says you are. Look at what Paul had to say in another letter. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look at what Paul, the same Paul, had to say. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. He's saying if anyone has begun a relationship with Jesus, that person is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. No one understood this more than Paul. Paul understood he'd been transformed and that he was a completely new person. Nothing else could explain that massive change in his life. And it's the very same for you. You are not who you were. You've been transformed by the power of God, so let go. And simply letting go this morning is not enough to move on to what God wants for you. Remember, there are two parts to this one thing that Paul is telling us and encouraging us to do. There's the letting go, and there's also the moving forward. There's two parts, and they are tied together because you cannot go in two directions at the same time. I mean, think about it. You cannot fully move from your past until you fully begin to move towards what God is calling you to. And in the same way, you cannot effectively run the race that God is calling you to until you let go of what is behind you. You must do both. They are tied together. And so for you this morning, maybe for you, letting go of your past is easy. Maybe it's something you've already done or something you just don't even think about anymore. And so I want to ask you this morning, if that's you, maybe your challenge is actually to begin to move forward. You've let go, but maybe God's calling you to something else. He's calling you forward and to take next steps. And so I want you to be honest and ask yourself this morning. Are you standing still or are you moving? And to understand that God wants for you to move, not just to let go, but to begin to move. And so how are you going to do that this morning? Can you identify what your next steps with God may be? The thing or the things that God may be calling you to do? Listen, everyone is different. Every one of us. But every one of us has a next step to take. So what's yours? And as you think about that this morning, I want to direct your attention somewhere around you in the seat back in front of you or somewhere near you. You can find one of these cards. It says guide marks on it. I want you to just pull that out. If you're trying to determine what your next step with God may be, go ahead and pull this out and look at it. And on it are five guide marks that we as a church have identified. And all a guide mark is, it's just a great tool to help identify what one of your next steps with God may be. And so feel free to take that home, it's yours. But as you think about that, your next step with God may not be on this card, but you do have one. So what is it? Think about it, pray about it. Listen, to help us focus this morning, this all may seem like a lot, but I want us to understand you're called to do both. You're called to let go and also to move forward. But is one of those this morning the priority for you? Is one of those more pressing? Is one of those clearly what God may be calling you to do? Do you really need to focus on letting go of what's behind you, of your past or your mistakes? Maybe it's forgiving someone or forgiving yourself or reminding yourself of what's true about you in Jesus. Or do you need to focus this morning on moving forward, on not being content with your accomplishments or where you've been, but taking next steps with God today? And as you think about that, which of those may be the priority or which of these steps you need to be taking, I want to encourage you that a great and a safe place for you to determine this and a safe place to discuss these things is in our small groups that meet every day of the week. And it's in those groups that there'll be a great environment for you to talk about this, to determine which is the priority, which of these next steps can I take? Students, it's the same for you and your student small groups this week. We're gonna be talking about the exact same thing. Listen, you were never meant to do life alone. You weren't. And so being connected to a group or in a small group is a great way to take next steps together and to be encouraged to do them and to not do it alone. And so last thing, why do all of this? Why all the effort for us and for Paul? Well, look at what Paul said in verse 14. Here's what he said. He said, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He says, I press on towards the goal. He's understanding that there is a prize waiting for him, that this race was worth it, and there was something waiting for him on the other side. And not only that, Paul understood not only was the race worth it, but the only way that he was able to run this race was because of Jesus and what he had done. And so as you let go of what is behind you and you move forward to what is ahead, I want to remind you of one last thing. That the reason you're able to let go this morning is really because of Jesus. You can't simply will yourself to actually completely let go of your mistakes or to forgive those people who have hurt you deeply. It's ultimately Jesus giving you a new identity. It's Jesus giving you grace in your own life that allows you to give that grace to others. It's because of him. And the reason you're able to move forward and to grow is because of what Jesus has done in you. He is the one growing you. He is the one calling you to take next steps. It's ultimately because of him. And all of this is such a key part of what Paul is calling us to do. This is not about your own strength or ability. This is not a self-help message about how to figure it out on your own or just to will yourself to do these things. No, it's about what Jesus can do and has already done in you. And so maybe this morning you've come to the realization that you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that you have not stepped over the line of faith and you've not experienced what it means and what it feels like to have new life in Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you've heard me talk about these things and you recognize you have not experienced that before, I want to encourage you that today would be that day for you. Pray and ask God to step into your life, to give you a new identity, to give you the grace that he's calling us to give to others. And if that's you this morning, I would just encourage you to pray and ask God to step into your life. You can find somebody at one of the prayer corners at the Next Step Center, at the Welcome Center, who would love to talk with you or to pray with you this morning. But ultimately, I want to remind us, it's ultimately because of Jesus and what he's done that we're able to take these steps. And so in a moment, we're going to sing another song. And the song is called Jesus is Better. And the entirety of the song is about how Jesus is greater than everything else in our lives. As we sing the song, I want to read to you before a portion of the words that we're going to sing because I believe that they fit so perfectly to what we've been talking about today. And here's just a few of the words. In all my sorrows, Jesus is better. In all my sorrows, in all my failures, essentially, he's talking about in all my mistakes, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. And then the next line, in all my victories, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. I want you to see this morning, Jesus is greater than your mistakes. Jesus is greater than your past. And as we sing this song this morning, I hope that the truth of that resonates with you. And maybe as we sing the song this morning, you need to pray, God, make my heart believe these words. God, make my heart believe this truth. God, help me to let go of what's holding me back so that I can begin to move forward. And maybe you also need to pray and believe this morning that Jesus is greater than your accomplishments, that Jesus is greater than the things you've been able to experience or be a part of in the past. And God has so much for you today and next steps and new steps for you. And so sing that this morning and believe it. And it's because ultimately of Jesus that we're able to actually do the thing that Paul called us to do this morning, to let go of what is behind us and to move forward to what is ahead. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for just the reminder this morning, God, that we are not perfect. God, and that we're not expected to be perfect. God, but that you do want us to continue to grow and to move. So God, I pray for each of us this morning, God, that you would remind us that our past is in the past. God, and our mistakes and our failures do not define who we are in you. And so Father, I pray that you would give us freedom from that, even this morning. God, encourage our hearts, remind us of what is true. And God, I pray as we sing this song, that the truth of those words, God, would resonate in our hearts. God, remind us that you are greater than anything. Our mistakes, our accomplishments, our failures, whatever it may be, God. And I pray, God, that you'd also show us clear next steps that you want for us. Things you want us to take, things you want us to trust you in. So God, we pray you'd be with us here in this time. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.